Thank you, Dave. I should just give him my paperwork and let him do the sermonette since he flubbed that up. I got to tell you guys a story. So I have this little, it's a sign company. We put real estate signs up for different realtors in the South Bay and Los Angeles area. And my business partner, I've known since the second grade. We played baseball all through high school, and we're pretty good. I blew my arm out playing football, so that was it for me. So it's getting to be baseball season. We're big Dodger fans, and we're getting ready. He wants to go out to Arizona for the spring training. I'm not really up for all that for a practice game. But then he was telling me something. I just started cracking up. He goes, I'm going to go down to the batting cage and hit those 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. And I looked at him, and I go, Bill, it's been since high school since we've been hitting 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. He goes, no, I'm going to go down there and hit a bunch. So he came back, and the next day I asked him how many he even fouled off. He said zero. And he's not a quitter. I bet you he dumped probably $50. Those things come at you fast. I don't know how many people have ever done that, but it comes off that arm, and I mean, you better already be swinging. And they don't go straight. That's what scares me. Sometimes they're a little high and inside. But so then I got to thinking about that as I was talking to Mr. Segley about giving the sermonette today to cover for Nathan O'Malley, who couldn't make it down, so I'm switching with him. And it dawned on me while we were talking about this, and that brought up this story about Bill and the baseball. It's what was the problem? He was a very good athlete. His dad actually played for the Dodgers a bit, and he got looked at by the pro scouts for a little bit. And but the one thing that he didn't contemplate is he hadn't prepared. He didn't go into the 40-mile-an-hour batting cage or the 50 or 60 and work his way up. He just jumped right into the 90, and then he wasn't going to go back down. He just knew he was going to hit one. He didn't even foul one off. So that's what my topic's going to be about today. And the title, if you're taking notes, is Are You Prepared? This is both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. We all know it's important in life to prepare. Have you ever had to do something and you found out you weren't prepared and you're already knee-deep into the task? We know how frustrating that is. We started in school from kindergarten up. We had to prepare for the first day of school. We had to prepare for the tests that we were taking during school. When we were about to get our driver's licenses, back then the driver's license class was actually in high school. But we had to prepare, and we had to take that test, and we had to go out with the teacher and practice our driving skills. Then when we get a little older, we may be thinking about getting married. We have to plan the wedding process. The wife-to-be is out getting the wedding gown with her mom and her mother-in-law-to-be and so forth, sending out the wedding cards, the invite cards, and so forth. And so I'm not going to be speaking that much on the physical preparedness aspect of this topic. It's going to be more of the spiritual aspect. So I'm going to go ahead and go first to the Webster Dictionary for the definition of prepare. A, to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. To put in a proper state of mind, to work out the details of, plan in advance. And we all know when we do things and we plan in advance, how it makes the task at hand so much more enjoyable when we had planned that out. So I have 3 points today with a spiritual application about planning and being prepared. The first one, number one, is preparing for our day. Each day God blesses us with the breath of life. We wake up in the morning. A lot of times, I mean, I found myself just wanting to get up and get right to work and without praying. And I've noticed when I take the time, set aside the day for prayer in the morning, the day just goes a lot better. I'm just in a whole different mindset. So preparing for the day, start off by praying, Bible studying, and occasionally fasting. Find a quiet place, set a specific time, and do your prayer and Bible study before you start the day. We think of the time when King David was before the lion's den, that whole story about how they were planning the different people in the government. He was in part of the government system there, but they had not found anything against him or could find anything against him, so they thought they would catch him by not, they knew he wasn't going to pray to these foreign gods. And so for 30 days, King Darius agreed that they were going to have the worship of these images. I think it might have been even an image of Darius, I'm not sure. But Daniel was prepared. Now, in reading this and doing a little study, and we know this, Daniel prayed three times a day. I'm going to go ahead and read Daniel 6:5. Daniel 6:5. This is, let's see here, verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." They thought they could get him that way. They thought that was his weakness. Unbeknownst to them, that was actually his innermost strength. And in Daniel 6:10, we read, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed for this, the 30 days for him to worship these idols, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day." So he went upstairs, and he didn't go hide in a corner. I think he actually on purpose, I don't know if he had, when he prayed before, opened up the windows, and but they could, he was, I'm thinking maybe he was even praying out loud, and they could hear him praying out loud. You know, that's what I'm just thinking. I don't know if it was, you know, if he just needed air conditioning, he opened, but I get that out of the text here. So, and then Daniel 6:10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, and with the window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom," when? "Since early days." He had prepared. It wasn't something abnormal in his whole game plan for his day. He got up in the morning, I'm sure, probably before he even got ready to walk out the door, he had already done, already said one prayer. So he was prepared. He was also prepared when he went into the lion's den, and we know what happened in that scenario. But he was so well prepared, he had no fear of man or what man could do to him. And then in Job 23:10 through 12, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot was held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Then number two, preparing for the Sabbath day. We have that day of preparation. In Luke 25:54, we read, Luke 23:54. "It was preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin." So this is a day that we all know and we have known for a long time, and it's a day that we can really start to wind down and get into the spiritual aspect of worshiping God on the Sabbath. We don't come in here half-heartedly, you know, doing Bible studies in the morning or sermonettes, and we're basically prepared. Even bringing the food, I'm sure whoever they bring that hot food now, they're not going to the store this morning and getting the food and cooking it and doing all that. There's a lot of preparation to it. So it's very important to prepare for the Sabbath day. Come out of this world and prepare for this day. And God's blessed us with this option to do. There's a little thing I read here. It's from, I didn't write the guy's name. Oh, John Mark Comer. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. This is from the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Then Mark 15:42-44. This is speaking about when Jesus was buried in Joseph's tomb. Now when evening had come at hand, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And we, most of us know that he was, in order not to be persecuted, he sort of just flew under the radar. And that's, I think that's what allowed him, them to allow him to take Christ's body too, because they weren't even sure if he was a follower of Jesus. The number three point, this is the most vital and most important, is we need to be preparing for Christ's return. We read the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm going to go ahead and read that here. Matthew 25:1-5. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So, which I find interesting. At one time they were all sleeping, but when it was time to wake up, the wake-up call, half of them were prepared and half of them weren't. And we all know that the oil in the lamp symbolizes God's Spirit and being full and being close to God. There's either two ways to be as far as with God in our relationship. We're either drawing closer or falling away. We're not going to be just idle in the middle. We're either going towards or getting further away from God the Father in Christ. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We have to be prepared. We don't know. I mean, the way things are going today, it could be, well, I think it'll probably be in our lifetime. That's my personal opinion. But things can speed up, things can slow down. We have to be prepared. And then, again, going through the three things to remember, preparing for our day, starting off by praying, Bible study, and occasionally fasting, preparing for the Sabbath day, and preparing for Christ's return. Then the last scripture I'll be reading is Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."